In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So here, as we begin our observance of the season of Lent together, we begin, as we do every year, with the temptation of Jesus. This is a fascinating gospel passage. It's found in all three of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I invite you to notice how Luke begins. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the desert. Now, in the Bible, the desert is a scary place. The desert is a place of scarce resources, a place where you can get lost and never find your way out. The desert is a lawless place, full of robbers, a place without convention, with a different kind of ethic. It makes me think of the modern Burning Man Festival, right, where people go out to the desert for a time to experience a different kind of community. Or it makes me think about recent movies like Dune or Mad Max, right? Set in the desert amid chaos. But in the Bible, it is always in that chaos that God does some of God's best work. In the beginning, right? The creation, before the waters came upon the earth to water it, there was just chaos, desert. And that's where God got to work. When Abraham journeyed, he dwelt often in the desert and encountered God there. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, first encountered God while sleeping in the desert, and then later, making the return trip back through the wilderness, wrestled with God all night long. When the nation of Israel was brought out of Egypt, freed from slavery, they entered the desert, where they would be free from others' expectations, others' conventions, where they could become a new people, recreated, formed, and shaped by God. In the early Christian tradition, we look back to the desert fathers and mothers, those earliest Christians who went out into lonely places, seeking solitude and the wilderness so that they too could wrestle with God. And even today, the monastic vocation continues as men and women seek a quiet place to listen for God's voice. And so the desert is often a scary place. And it is definitely a different place than where most of us live most of the time, but it is a place where God does some of God's best work. And so Jesus is led out into the desert by the Holy Spirit. And what does Jesus do there but to spend 40 days wrestling with temptation? There Jesus meets the devil. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the term devil. Maybe you think of a little guy sitting on a shoulder. Maybe you think of a tall man dressed in red with a tail. Or maybe you think about just an idea or a figure of speech. I don't know which of these would be most accurate, and I'm not all that concerned about it. I know that one of the names for the devil that's most often used as Satan, and Satan means adversary. And in my life, I think I find that often I am my own worst adversary. And often I'm the one who gets in the way of those things that I value and that I pursue. And so I invite you to read this account, and you can read it literally, like there are two persons, personalities talking to each other. Or you can read it figuratively as Jesus wrestles with systems or ideas or his own experiences, but certainly you can read it spiritually. And we're all invited to perceive what Jesus hears and does, and how we are invited to follow Jesus. I don't want to talk this morning about the three temptations in sequence, although that's often a fascinating exercise, but instead I want to talk about three more general things that I observe from all of these temptations. And the first is that the devil begins by casting doubt on Jesus' value, on Jesus' status, on Jesus' connection to God. He says, if you are the Son of God, as if this was a question, right? As if Jesus wasn't sure. And I think temptation begins the same way in our lives, with a question of our own value, our own meaning, our own purpose, our own connection to God, where the devil seeks to make us doubt our own goodness, to doubt our own worth, to doubt whether we are respected or liked or admired or honored, to doubt our connection to God and the security of God's regard for us. I think temptation only gains power when we forget who we are, and especially whose we are, that we belong to God, that we are the beloved of the Creator of the universe. And so temptation begins with doubt. Doubt about ourselves. Secondly, I'll note that the devil is persistent. Right? The devil has lots of tricks. In this passage, the devil even uses scripture to try to lure Jesus in. And without a secure connection to God, without a secure connection to the entirety of the canon of scripture, without a connection to a tradition of interpretation, which is one of the things that we receive from the church, then indeed scripture, the words of the Bible, can be twisted and distorted and used to say kind of anything you want. And the thing about temptation and the devil is that the devil is a liar. And the devil offers to Jesus false promises based on false premises. And so as we consider our own motivations and methods, it's important for us to be clear not only about the end that we hope to achieve, but also the ways that we're going to get there. Right? The way we do things is as important as the things we do. And by keeping in mind what we're about from start to finish, we can avoid being caught by the devil's tricks and persistence. So the devil begins by casting doubt about your value. The devil continues with persistence. But then we see that temptation doesn't last forever. Right? That there are seasons in our life of temptation, and there are seasons in our life of rest. Even Jesus, until the Passion, was never fully free of the devil. But Jesus was able, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to meet temptation head on and to overcome. And that's the invitation for us as well. And so temptation begins by questioning our connection to God, our own value in God's eyes. It continues with persistence, but it doesn't last forever. Lent, the season of Lent, this time of preparation for Easter, this is a time when many Christians choose to return to the desert on purpose. Right? This is a time when many Christians choose practices like fasting or emptying ourselves in service, learning to pay attention anew to God, spending more time in Scripture. A time when Christians seek to make ourselves available to God, to wait upon God, to notice God's presence in the quietness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. That same Holy Spirit led the desert fathers and mothers into the desert. That same Holy Spirit today leads us into our own deserts, to our own quiet places, sometimes desolate places, sometimes difficult and sad places, sometimes just peaceful. But places where we have opportunities to grow in our faith, to draw closer to God, to remember that we depend always and first of all upon God. The desert. The desert is the place where God does some of God's best work. This Lent, I pray that you will meet God here in the desert, and that you will be changed. Amen.